In the quiet garden, God found Adam with his question. That night, God asked the question. 20,000 nights ago, it seems, God spoke and asked the question.
He is always asking questions.
He is good at asking questions.
You know, it's been a wrong question.
Like a judge.
Like a husband, you know, like a wrong woman.
He asks his questions. And questions must be answered. Or they hang on the head by the sword.
They dangle over us forevermore.
And we are afraid to try to answer.
Sometimes I think he likes to see us squirm.
Perhaps he wants to show how brave he is.
Or how dull our human creatures are.
Because he knows we cannot answer. In 100,000 days, never answer.
Perhaps there is no answer.
Perhaps there is only a question.
And God alone.
And God alone who can answer.
Could it be he asked in mercy that night in the desolate garden? That his words fell in compassionate anguish. Adam, where are you?
But now, in our stubborn disobedience, they fall
like a hail of pebbles upon an iron skillet.
No, I see it was not a geographical question.
Space means nothing to him.
He knew that I was a bit of driftwood, cast upon a wide and lonely sea. I do not know it till he questioned.
We never know it till he questions.
I knew myself in God's question. I knew that I was naked and fully covered. And I knew what it is to be known.
We are always covering our nakedness, covering the adequacy with faith.
Well, I suppose that's possible.
Covering our failures with excuses.
Believe me, it's thoroughly impossible this way.
Covering our selfishness with false nobility.
Of course, I had to think of the good of children.
We say we are too busy, when in truth we are too ignorant. We dare not answer questions, lest we know ourselves and despair.
But even so, as long as things were as they were, there was still small hope that the creeks might be healed and God's anger would relent and we again might have Eden.
But Cain did all that.
Where Adam stumbled into sin, Cain flung the mercy of God upon the ground and quenched his wrath in the blood of his brother.
His act was not accidental.
It was repentant.
Bold, unambiguous repentant.
Cain held a set resolve to bring God down and so to prove the glory of man.
Since God was not pleased with what he had grudgingly offered, he would slay the thing that pleased God, and whom God pleased. And thus set his banner of defiance high, that all might see that man is free.
Cain defied God, that man might be free.
This is the story of Cain. Cain found his brother and slew him. And now the world is filled with God's question.
The case of Cain, son of Adam, versus God and man.
But it is only against God, not man.
If it is against God, it is against man.
Now the trial begins. Now the judge puts the question. Ominously, he puts the question.
Where is thy brother?
Objection, Your Honor. The judge may also be prosecutor.
Objection overruled. The prisoner will answer the question.
I have forgotten the question.
The question is about your brother.
Am I my brother's keeper?
He has not answered the question.
The prisoner will answer the question.
The judge has ruled in the matter. The prisoner must answer the question.
Where is thy brother?
I do not know.
Enter it in the record that the prisoner does not know.
Dead. He is dead. Somewhere his blood blackens in the dust. Let it be a fit sacrifice to the God he worshipped. Let this be noticed on you that I am free. Enter this in the record also. I, Cain, a free man, killed him. God, do you hear? I'm free and not guilty.
Your Honor, my client wishes to plead guilty to the charge, but I beg permission to show the crime was committed under extreme provocation.
The defense has permission to state its case.
The defense will state the case for Cain.
My client lived under extreme provocation. In a world where there is no observable government, where evil prospers and good languishes, where corruption is
born, and virtue scoffed at, where might is almost always right, where men laugh behind their hands and innocence. In such a world, my client felt justified in taking steps. It is admitted that his acts may have introduced certain additional elements of harshness and injustice into the world, but since there was already so much, this little will hardly be noticed. And furthermore, what little he is responsible for will ultimately wipe out much of what now is. And so in the light of these circumstances, I ask the court to find the acts of my client justified and give him his freedom.
Has the jury reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor.
The jury will render the verdict.
The jury finds the accused guilty as charged.
Is there a recommendation of mercy?
The jury does not so recommend.
The prisoner will step forward and hear the sentence.
The prisoner stands without recommendation of mercy.
As freedom was what he sought, the prisoner is hereby sentenced to freedom forever. He shall not be bound to any law or loyalty or relationship. Neither shall he be required to give allegiance to God or his fellow human beings. Nor shall any person or group force any relationship upon him. Go in freedom and wander in the ways you have chosen.
And may God have mercy on his soul.
The court has pronounced the sentence.
The prisoner has heard the sentence.
We who have heard the sentence do not guess how heavy it is.
It is the knell of his undoing.
It is not the simple dispossession of his property, the thing he loves so well.
The face of God is hid from Cain. The world is waste and void of him.
The cloud of our defiance blots out the face of God.
We wander in the wilderness, naked, unhoused, unshod.
Cain goes forth an exile and a wanderer over the dry, soft flats of existence, where the only truth is death. Cain is stripped of his inheritance, cut off from his fellow man.
He cannot speak.
He has forgotten what to say.
He is alone, and his burden grows.
Though a million spinning wheels on the highways and the speedways, on the throughways and the freeways, bring us together at the ballparks and the beaches.
Though mass communication brings strange voices and new faces into the quiet houses which used to be our homes,
the walls of our isolation still remain.
Men still bear their private agonies alone. The hidden wounds are fresh in the ulcerated flesh. And we dare not show the sorrow we bear.
It would be improper.
It would be imprudent.
It would be vexed. It would be inhumane.
We have honored our private words, for we dare not be vulnerable to each other.
If the man's about to fall, face the wall.
If in distress, I want to weep, pretend to sleep.
If someone's about to be sick, get out quick.
If someone's about to die, avert the eye.
Don't get involved. Don't get involved. Let him go to the Salvation Army.
To be safe, never meet the eyes of a stranger, for the eyes of a stranger will break into your world, and it will be destroyed forever.
Let him go to the Salvation Army.
The hand of every man is against Cain,
for Cain deserves to die.
And the hand of Cain is against every man,
for who deserves not to die. There is none to protect him. He has rid himself of every tie,
pride,
region, creed.
Cain, the free man, is the prey of every man.
No man is my friend. All men seek to slavery. What is there not of flight?
But in an alien, friendless world, where shall Cain flee? Death waits at every turn.
Now is my punishment greater than I could bear.
Now then, Cain, run!
the terrible sickness at the heart.
In God's questions, the terror falls upon us. It seizes us. It drives us running and stumbling before.
Where are you?
Where is thy brother?
Before the executors of his wrath, the hands that formed the divine prayer.
Jesus in the wilderness was neither evil nor malevolent, but the eye of him who stands within the terrifying shadows of our existence with a compassionate conscience.
The eye of God is untamed in love. God cares about Cain.
God cared about Cain. Then the world would begin again. Life would begin again. But I know this cannot be. He has followed me with this question, with this everlasting question.
God cares enough to ask the question. He cares enough to answer.
But I do not understand.
In our person, we bear the mark you bear, the self-same mark.
When despair had cut the sinews of our hope, upon us too God had mercy.
God set aside our sins of pride and claimed us by his mark.
And we can never be unclaimed.
In the agony of his love, he has fashioned the answer to the question.
We were exiles and wandered.
We sojourned in strange places.
We dwelt in the wilderness of cities and in the death places of the mind.
And in the slippery pits of fleshly lusts.
From these God claimed us. And upon us set his mark.
We are beggars made rich.
Blind men who see.
Lame men who walk.
Prisoners set free.
But I am a murderer.
We are all murderers.
And the blood of just men is upon us all.
I did to death one who served God well, because he served him well.
We did to death upon a cross him that was God's very son, because he was God's son.
There was no evil found in him.
But his goodness was an affront to us.
But God's mercy was to the end.
The very mark of his son he has written upon our foreheads. Where are you? This question asked Adam holds no terror now. God has given us the answer.
We are here in Jesus Christ.
Come out of the shadows when you speak. Let me look into your eyes and then tell you what seems to be an idle tale. For if this be true, then this is like a deed.
This circle is now the part of his love.
We are the aim that seeks to run.
We have found the purposes of the pursuing God from heaven. We are witnesses to this.
God stepped out of the shadows and took the form of man.
In the flesh was he born, and in the flesh he died for love's sake.
And in that love, we are claimed.
By an infinite escape, by his ministry of mercy, by his agony on Calvary, by his joyous resurrection, by his blessed Holy Spirit.
God would claim you. Come into the circle, brother.
O mercy of God has conquered Cain. Now the world begins Cain.
The end is not rest, but joy.
We are sent to gather into all the world, to the places where men still run in fear.
Beyond the hills and into the outer seas.
We declare his acts in the shadows of men in the temple and where the altar stones have fallen.
To the outermost parts of the earth.
It is not only a geographical world where the good news is not yet preached, but in all the places where men live in the foreigners to their true nations. The world without and the world within.
Where the pursuit of knowledge ends in destruction.
Where the passion for justice ends in tyranny.
Where natural law ends in lust and perversion.
Where awareness of difference ends in discrimination.
In these wilderness, we proclaim God's mercy.
Here we declare that his mark among Cain is the measure of his grace and love.